You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is Friday, September 11th. We are spending some time today talking about, an opportunity to gather together in prayer tomorrow, just one day from now, to gather together to pray, to pause, to pray, to remember the children who have been lost in abortion, those who have been affected by abortion, parents who have lost children to abortion, and grandparents. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. Some great guests, four guests lined up today, some from the LCMS Life Committee, Lutherans for Life. We're going to talk with all of them about tomorrow, September 12th, our day to pray to end abortion. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program, supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, looking for the CUW logo on our website, KFUO.org. It's in the sponsor section there on the right-hand side of the page. Just look for CUW there, and you can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin. Our first guest joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Jonathan Lang, pastor at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Evanston, Wyoming, and St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kemmerer, Wyoming. He's also the coordinator of the district, the LCMS District Life Coordinators, and a member of the LCMS Life Committee. Pastor Lang, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you. Welcome. It's good to be on your program. Thank you for inviting me.
Glad to have you with us today and talking about the day to pray for, we pray every day, but a special day, a special time set aside tomorrow to as a time to pray in repentance and remembrance of the victims of abortion. Before we get to that, Pastor, share with us a little bit about your service as pastor there in Wyoming and your work with the district life coordinators and the life committee.
I've been here in the southwest corner of Wyoming for 18 years now, and for the past several years was selected by my district to coordinate life efforts, and it's been a enriching and educating time for me, and that led to the district life coordinator project. We realized how valuable it was to have conversation ongoing between pastors and sharing information and ideas. And we did that first on the circuit level, and then started looking at doing that on a inter-district level as well. And with the help of Dr. Lamb and Maggie Carner, the district life coordinators were born.
And the LCMS Life Committee, what are some of the issues that you address on the LCMS Life Committee, and what are the things that you work toward?
Well, the issues that we address range from the beginning of life to the end of life, and everything in between, underscoring in a gospel-centered way the sanctity of life at all stages and under all circumstances. The things that we seek to do on the committee are, twofold. One of them is to have conversation among ourselves to always keep abreast of what's coming down the pike, what's on the horizon, in culturally speaking, attacks on life in various ways. And then we wish to put together materials, programs, whatever we can to help equip the pastors and congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod so that they have the resources they need to engage these difficult questions.
Let's talk more about your work in the community where you are in Wyoming. When it comes to the topic of abortion, how has abortion affected the community, the state where you live and serve there in Wyoming?
Well, I consider that really in three ways. I would say, first of all, just on a tragic loss of people. People are God's gift to us, their lives all around us, and to consider the fact that anywhere from somewhere in the neighborhood of 25% of this year's high school graduating class was never born. It's a staggering number to think about the joys and the gifts that God has that God had intended to give to us as a community that are missing. The second thing that goes along with that, I think, is one cannot experience this constant attacks on the culture of life without loss of humanity. And I think, you know, everywhere we look, we see examples of a loss of humanity. Tomorrow we're having the memorial for the victims of abortion, and I just wanted to give maybe a moment about the history of that.
Mm-hmm.
It really finds its roots in northern Illinois back in 1988, where one of the pro-life groups there tragically came upon the bodies of over 1,200 aborted fetuses, children, and discarded in a dumpster. And they rescued them from the dumpster and gave them a proper burial in Milwaukee. That happened on September 10th, 1988. And that kind of thing, that loss of dignity for the human body, is underscoring the loss of dignity for human life. And then, of course, fast forward to today. And for the last couple of months now, we have been seeing on a weekly basis more evidence of the the calloused treatment of deceased human beings in the organ harvesting at Planned Parenthood. So loss of humanity, I think, mm-hmm. is something that affects the community deeply. And then thirdly, and I think most importantly for us as Lutherans and as congregations in our communities, there is just a lot of hurting out there. There are mothers, there are fathers, there are grandparents. In some cases, there are siblings who are aware of the loss of life by abortion and have nowhere to turn. The people who confuse them and urge them to receive abortions are not there to help them when the natural pains arise within them. But on the other hand, they are reluctant to turn to the church thinking they're going to receive more condemnation, which of course they won't, where the church is here to forgive sins and not to offer further condemnation. But I think that the pain that is carried by and secretly carried by so many people just is manifest in this community.
Are there misconceptions about abortion or what abortion is or the effects that it has on everyone involved or other family members?
Yeah, I think there's just one overarching huge misconception about abortion, and that is, you might say that to think that it's a zero-sum game. And what I mean by that is abortion is often portrayed as though the interests of the mother are in conflict with the interests of her child. And it is that conflict then which is kind of fanned into flame in order to urge abortion. But what is always true, and what too often tragically people find out after they have been convinced to partake of abortion, is that that never was the case. God's gift of a child in the womb is always a gift, and what's in the best interest of the mother is also in the best interest of the child. We find this time and time again, and if we can just help people to see this and to experience the shock, the surprise, and all of the emotions that are experienced with a new pregnancy, to put those in context and say the Lord has given here. There is not a downside. There's life that God has given as a gift.
Why gather for prayer tomorrow? Why a special day of prayer? Why a service or a vigil of repentance and remembrance of the victims of abortion tomorrow?
Well, as I began to say, it was 28 years ago mm-hmm. that there was the first burial, a mass burial, you might say, of aborted children. This has happened a few times since, but it was, first of all, on the 25th anniversary of that burial, 3 years ago on September 14th, there was a nationwide call for a day of remembrance and repentance and prayer. As far as I know, it was intended to be a one-time deal. but it had such a a response. And in fact, we even had one in little old Evanston, Wyoming. I can recall participating in that 3 years ago. And, well, that became an annual celebration, an annual opportunity to get together for prayer. And so that's where it is. And then President Harrison, this year especially, has challenged and called on the LCMS all over the nation to use this occasion for profitable, for both prayer, for public and private prayer.
Pastor Lang, anything else as we wrap up our conversation today?
Yes, I would like hearers always to remember this, that makes us unique. We do not fight in order to win. We are given the unique opportunity of fighting the battles, of standing for life, because Christ has already won. That's a vital thing to remember. And in this, as the leaves are beginning to fall and we're turning to football season, maybe if I can make this analogy, Jesus not only gives us a Super Bowl ring, quite apart from our having to earn it, but then after giving us the Super Bowl ring, which he has given us in faith and repentance and the gift of life, now today he gives us an opportunity to participate in the big game. And that's a joy in itself, but it's a joy that's always seen in the light of the victory already accomplished.
The Reverend Jonathan Lang, pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Evanston, Wyoming, and St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kemmerer, Wyoming, coordinator of the district, the LCMS District Life Coordinators, and member of the LCMS Life Committee. Thanks for being our guest today, Pastor Lang.
Thank you, Andy, for having me. It was a pleasure.
More Faith and Family conversation on the upcoming Day of Prayer and remembrance of the victims of abortion. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration and action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit CUW.edu.
You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Today we are discussing the upcoming Day of Prayer to End Abortion, a day of repentance and remembrance of the victims of abortion. Our next guest, the Reverend Christopher Esket, Senior Pastor of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in and School in Alexandria, Virginia. He's also the 6th Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and member of the LCMS Life Committee. Pastor Esket, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Great to have you as our guest today and talking about this day set aside for prayer, prayer to reflect and to remember, to repent, to pray for those who are victims of abortion. Pastor Esket, share with us about your work there at Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church and School and on the LCMS Life Committee.
Sure. Well, we are located inside the Beltway, and when I listen to the news, I often hear people describe the life inside the Beltway as something out of touch from the rest of the country. And I suppose there's a certain aspect to that, what happens on Capitol Hill and the political aspect of it. But the people here are sinners like everybody else, people who are struggling to take care of their family, and the people here are deeply compassionate, deeply desirous of making a difference in the world. And so we have a classical school, and our school is it serves Lutherans but also others, and we are really interested in inculcating the things that our Western tradition is rapidly losing. Now, with my work on the Life Committee, We have been trying to find ways to speak to the church about the sanctity of life, not simply as a political matter. I think a lot of churches and a lot of pastors shy away from talking about issues like abortion or assisted suicide because they will say that's politics. But it's something much more fundamental to that. It speaks to the very gift that God has given to us of life. And, you know, if we are dealing with the protection of human life, I suppose that is a political matter, but it's also a moral matter, a fundamental matter of human rights. So we have to speak to these things both from the perspective of God's word, but also of natural law and the rights of our neighbor to defend our neighbor.
What are the misconceptions surrounding abortion in our country today?
Well, I think perhaps the principal misconception is that this is simply the right of the woman to choose because that they have defined the child growing inside of the mother as simply tissue, as simply part of her anatomy. And that is incorrect. The child is located inside the mother and dependent upon the mother, but the child is a separate human person, and we must protect that person. Would you mind if I shared with your listeners just for a moment one of the classic definitions of apologetic tools regarding abortion?
Please do.
It's called the SLED test, and it's easy to remember. SLED, like sliding down a hill in the wintertime, and the S has to do with size. So people will say, well, the child growing inside the womb is so small, and therefore we can discard it. But people come in all different sizes. My wife is shorter than I am, and my son is quite a bit shorter than both of us. But that doesn't make him less of a human being. So size is not the definition. Development. Level of development, that's the L in the SLED. The level of development, we're all on different scales, but again, a 2-year-old is different than a 10-year-old, than a 14-year-old, than a 30-year-old. So that can't be it. And then environment. The child is located inside the mother's womb, but where a person is located doesn't decide whether or not they have value. And the final one is dependency. So the child inside the womb is dependent upon his mother, but our 2-year-old is dependent upon me and my wife. Without us, he would certainly die. So we can't say that since the child is dependent upon the mother or is small or inside the womb or lacking full development, that makes him less of a human being. So we have to protect them.
Well, that's a helpful tool. Again, so SLED, size?
Size, level of development, environment, you can think of that as your location, and then dependency. How dependent are they? One of my professors at seminary, I'll never forget this, he said, none of us is autonomous and none of us is viable by ourselves. We need others to survive. Every single one of us is not viable by ourselves. We're dependent upon all the other people around us to help us with food and medicine and education and all the other things that we need. We all need each other, and ultimately we are all dependent upon God. So this idea of viability, is the child viable or not, is preposterous because none of us is independent. None of us is viable. We depend upon God for our life and others God has given us in our life.
So let's talk about this day of prayer tomorrow. How does prayer make a difference for something as gruesome and as morbid as abortion? Why gather for prayer when facing something so evil?
Sure. Well, I think because we are facing something so evil, that is the primary thing to do. I participate in, especially because of my location here, just outside the nation's capital, I participate in, political protests and activities like that. But we are gravely mistaken if we think that simply dealing with it in terms of law is what's going to resolve the problem. Only God can help us. Only God can save us. And as we look at the horror of abortion, the primary thing to do is to say, Lord, have mercy. And sometimes when I visit people at hospitals when they've gotten some bad news regarding, their cancer or some other medical condition, they'll say, well, I guess all that's left to do now is pray. And I understand what they're saying, but really, we should never say all that's left to do is pray. That's the first thing to do, to call upon God in every trouble. So that's the first thing to do, is to recognize that only God can really heal our world and heal our hearts, and only God can save us and save the children who are in peril. But I think the other thing to do is that when we listen to the word of God and then respond in prayer, we hear that God has remembered his people of old suffering, that God does, in fact, remember. So this day of remembrance is when we come before the Lord in prayer, we are remembering the victims, but we are also asking God to remember and to act. So, you know, it was many, many years while the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt, and it seemed as though God had forgotten, but God remembered his people and he acted. So we ask God to remember and act, as he has in the past. 400 years passed between the last prophet of the Old Testament and the coming of the Messiah, and it seemed as though everything was lost and as though God has not remembered. But then we see in our Lord Jesus Christ that he has remembered. And so the prayer of the dying thief has become an introduction to the Lord's prayer for us. Lord, remember us in your kingdom. So we are asking God to remember us, and that's what we're doing in prayer as well, to not only remember us, but to remember the victims. And so to turn our hearts outside of ourselves towards God and towards love for the neighbor.
How can listeners get resources for this day coming up tomorrow? What can we do to prepare for this day?
That's excellent. There are some fantastic resources on the LCMS website, lcms.org. If you go there, you'll see on one of the top banners the a link that will give a letter from President Harrison and also some materials that you can use. They've prepared a litany. They've gotten some wonderful resources from Lutherans for Life, which is another good resource, mm-hmm. lutheransforlife.org. However, all you really need is a Bible and a hymn book. Tomorrow, the resources there are wonderful, but because of some time constraints, I was not able to get them printed up. So for our vigil at church tomorrow, we have the hymn book. So we are going to pray the litany, and then my associate pastor and I will lead our congregation in prayers. There are wonderful materials just right there in your hymn book to pray the Psalms, to pray Matins or Vespers, to pray the litany. The litany is the classic prayer of repentance and in time of trouble. So whether it's a time of war, a time of grief, a time of penitence as we enter into Lent, that's a fantastic resource. So lcms.org, lutheransforlife.org, or just get your hymn book out and mm-hmm. start praying.
With just about a minute left, other things that we can do. Obviously, tomorrow is a significant day that people across the country, around the world, will be gathering together to pray, to end abortion, to kneel before the crucified one in repentance and remembrance. Other things we can do throughout the year or on a daily basis with just about a minute, Pastor?
That's a fantastic question. I would say, find your local crisis pregnancy center and see how you can help them. They need your money, but they also need volunteers. I would say that supporting people who are in supporting people who are pregnant or have young children to show an example that life is valued, that life is welcomed. So I don't think we want to focus so much on protesting, although there's very much a place for that, but on helping and making a positive impact of letting people know that there is a place where they can go for help. So this is as small as dropping off some diapers at your crisis pregnancy center, to collecting some money, to getting involved in foster parenting or adoption. So at every level, from small things to great things, just saying, we, the church, will be there to help any children who are in need. We will take them and love them.
The Reverend Christopher Eskett, Senior Pastor at Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church and School in Alexandria, Virginia, 6th Vice President of the LCMS and member of the LCMS Life Committee. Pastor Eskett, thanks so much for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
It's an honor. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. God bless you and all the saints you serve there in Alexandria, Virginia. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk with the Reverend Dr. James Lamb, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, and the Reverend Michael Salamink, who will begin his service as the new Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
You've discovered Worldwide KFUO, a radio station where you can find the clear biblical understanding of Christianity proclaimed daily in both word and song. Our talk programs can be heard live or on demand at your convenience anytime worldwide. The KFUO talk programs proclaim the true word of God, focused on salvation through Christ and Scripture alone. You've discovered KFUO.org, the messenger of good news.
In 2017, the Lutheran Reformation's 500th anniversary will finally be here. And coming this October, your one-stop shop for this once-in-a-lifetime celebration will be LutheranReformation.org. This website will be your source for videos, educational resources, activities for children, and many more ways you can celebrate the Reformation's 500th anniversary. Reformation 2017. It's still all about Jesus. Go to LutheranReformation.org today.
Worldwide KFUO has been listener-supported for more than 90 years, teaching the good news of Jesus upon the cross and witnessing to the world on God's mercy. We are on AM 850 in St. Louis and online at KFUO.org, where you will find our Give Now button. It's easy, safe, and secure to give to the Christ-centered broadcast ministry of Worldwide KFUO. You'll find us online at KFUO.org.
You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Joining me by phone today, the Reverend Dr. James Lamb, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. Dr. Lamb, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you. Always good to be with you.
Great to have you as our guest today. And your time as Executive Director of Lutherans for Life is winding down. The conference coming up this fall at the end of October and bringing in a new director. I'd like to talk about your time serving as Executive Director for Lutherans for Life and some of the key issues that that have come up that we've addressed during this time.
I'd be happy to do that. It's gone by really, really quickly. I remember early on with interviews like this, I would say something like, "Well, I'm new at this, you know," and I think I've been using that for about 10 years, but it does wear out eventually. So it's been almost 19, so over 19 actually. So I probably can't use that one anymore.
Wow, over 19 years serving as Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. So we've seen a lot of things in our culture, in our country, here in the United States that have happened during that time. What are some of the key things, the key issues that we as confessing Christians, as Lutherans who are life-affirming, what are some of the key things that we've had to address during that time?
Well, you know, when I came on in 1996, and when I came on, there were no states in our country that had assisted suicide laws, and now we have four of them, and more pending. When I came on in 96, we didn't even know anything about what embryonic stem cells were. That all started in 1998, the isolation of embryonic stem cells. So that and the whole discussion about those and cloning and then in vitro fertilization, that had been going on certainly, but in lieu of embryonic stem cells, using embryos in fertility clinics, and so all of that has just provided many, many challenges for Christians in the areas of infertility and stem cell research and so forth. Also, when I came on, there was very little specifically being done at our seminaries and at our universities in terms of focusing on the life issues. And boy, that's really, really changed, and I'm just really pleased to see that. That's been a great change. And then the other focus that I think has
just been swelling and is wonderful, and that's the involvement of the younger generation in these issues. And a couple of years ago, we brought on a full-time person, you know, Laura Davis, and she's just been doing a great job engaging the younger generation and equipping them to engage one another, engage the church, and engage the culture as well. So those are some of the big things that I think, and positive things. All of these things have helped people become aware of what's going on. When something like stem cell research, for example, you know, makes the national media, people become aware, they start asking questions, and gives opportunity for us to talk about these things from a word-based, gospel-centered perspective in the church. And so some of these issues are difficult. Some of these issues are horrible to think about, like, you know, the latest Planned Parenthood videos. Nevertheless, they do give us opportunity to let our message be known in the church and then in the culture as well.
I'm glad you mentioned that. That really leads us to the next question. Abortion has certainly been an issue all along in the during your time as executive director of Lutherans for Life. It's been one of the key issues that we address as confessing Christians and Lutherans who affirm life. What have we learned most recently about abortion and the industry of abortion, if you will?
Well, these undercover videos of Planned Parenthood negotiating to sell the baby parts of these aborted babies, again, they're horrible to watch. I don't want to watch them. I know I should watch them. But again, they have at least raised the issue. They have put a spotlight, if you would, not just on abortion, because we use that word so nonchalantly anymore in our culture, but they put the spotlight on what abortion is. It is the brutal destruction of a tiny human being, dismemberment of a tiny human being. And then to sell these little body parts and to do that for profit, it's just something that horrifies the public when they hear about these things, and at least draws attention. And I think we can use that as a stepping stone, because abortion's always been awful. We've always been dismembering babies. This has just brought it to the fore a bit. So it gives opportunity. But the other thing that I think we need to be aware of, is that doesn't get talked about quite as much, is that when women and men who've been involved in an abortion decision hear about this discussion, see these videos, hear these videos talked about, that pricks a wound that may be very, very deep of guilt and regret. And so we need to be there with resources as well in our church to address the guilt and the regret of a past abortion with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
The release of these videos certainly has... I guess in one sense it's shocking, in the other sense it's not shocking. I guess it confirms things that we thought were only that we could only imagine, but unfortunately now that it's been brought to light, it's a reality, and we have to face it. And
we do. The other reason it's not surprising is because it's a natural outgrowth of devaluing of unborn human life that has been going on for decades now. And so when we start referring to unborn human life as the product of conception, and we do that over and over and over again, then what's the big deal about selling it as a product? And so it's just a natural outflow of where our culture has been in terms of devaluing life.
And one of the ways, go ahead.
Gives us the opportunity to talk about where real value comes from when it comes to life.
One of the ways we're responding to that is President Harrison and others have called us to a day of prayer to end a prayer to end abortion. A faithful response to this horrible tragedy and sad reality that we face, this day of prayer coming up this weekend on Saturday. What do we even pray in the face of such evil?
Well, I think, you know, we want to, as President Harrison says in his letter, encouraging this, you know, to pause. We have to stop our hurried lives and think about what's been going on. So we really need to stop. We really need to do something that says for this hour or this half hour or this half day, we're just going to not do anything except pray about these issues, focus on these issues. So we really do need to pause. And then we need to pray, as he says. And we need to be praying for so many things. We need to pray to end this atrocity. We need to pray for those who commit abortions, who work and live in that lifestyle, those that profit from it. We need to pray for our leaders who seem to be just blind to what's going on. We need to pray for our culture. We need to pray for those who are in crisis pregnancy. Pray for those who are struggling with the past abortion. So many things we could pray about that center around this issue of abortion. And there are many suggestions out there that can be as Lutherans for Life. For example, we have on our website, if you go to lutheransforlife.org, under media, you can click the media label and then down below on that menu to say prayers. And there are some offering and suggestions there. And LCMS also has produced, took one of our services, a service of remembrance and prayer, and tweaked that a little bit to be used for this observation as well. So there are resources out there. Go to Lutherans for Life website, go to the LCMS website, and you'll find resources to use on Saturday. You know, if you're looking for something, you're looking for some guidance there.
Well, thanks for pointing us to that. Lutheransforlife.org. You can find resources there when it comes to how to pray in this circumstance, or to offer some ideas, some suggestions of what we can pray during this time. The Reverend Dr. James Lamb, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, thanks for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
You're welcome. Thanks for highlighting this and drawing people's attention to it. And we pray that, you know, as we work together, we'll continue to do more and more to bring to light what's going on and then shine the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ on that.
We'll continue the conversation here on Faith and Family right after this on Worldwide KFUO. Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Joining me in studio today, the Reverend Michael Salamink. He has begun his service with Lutherans for Life. He is the executive director elect and will be succeeding the Reverend Dr. James Lamb, serving with Lutherans for Life. Pastor Salamink, welcome to Faith and Family.
Good morning, Andy. Good morning to your listeners. And I'm very glad to be here. I thank you for the opportunity and looking forward to our work together.
I should say welcome back. You've been on Faith and Family a couple of times before, serving as a pastor at St. James Lutheran Church in Lafayette, Indiana. Recently made the move here to St. Louis, and now serving with Lutherans for Life, and gearing up. Started in August and gearing up for the installation in October at the conference. We'll be there at the conference, so we'll get to see get to be a part of that and see what's going on with the conference and be a part of the installation there as well. Pastor Salamink, let's talk about your work with Lutherans for Life. What you're looking forward to in the years to come with your service at Lutherans for Life?
Well, the life issues are extremely important for Missouri Synod Lutherans, for Christians of all stripes, but especially because of the opportunity they present for us to proclaim the gospel and share the Lordship and the mercy of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness of sins, and the great value of life by God's grace in creation, redemption, sanctification. So it's very exciting for me, a lifelong Lutheran, to be able to live out that gospel and proclaim that gospel to specific situations with such an outstanding group of people as Lutherans for Life, and our brothers and sisters in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
What are some, I've talked with some of the other gentlemen about this today as well, some of the misconceptions about abortion in our country. What are some of the, abortion is the topic that we're addressing tomorrow in the Day of Prayer. What are some of the misconceptions, misunderstandings that, you think we have as a society regarding abortion?
Well, there are some very, very obvious ones that are being overturned by modern medical technologies. For example, that early term embryos are simply clumps of cells, that abortion is a relatively minor procedure that has not a lot of consequences for those involved. I think sometimes on the other side, there are perceptions that everyone who participates in an abortion is making a relatively easy decision. I think we find that that almost all of the time, there's a lot of pain and suffering involved on all sides. And I think that perhaps the most operative misconception for those of us who are for life and for the gospel is that the people who undergo abortions, or the people who are pro-choice, are unilaterally or vehemently so. I think generally what we find in talking to actual human beings, our fellow human creatures, is that this is a source of conflict for everybody. And it's very difficult to categorize people into camps, and that's encouraging for us because we find that we have an awful lot of common ground, even with those folks that we might perceive to be our opponents.
Tomorrow is set aside as a day of prayer, day of repentance, remembrance. Why gather for prayer? You know, some would say, how is that going to make a difference? How is that going to end abortion? Some would say you got to get out and do something. Get out and protest. Why protest by prayer?
Well, I don't know that we necessarily feel that it's so much protest as it is the day says remembrance. The process of healing, whether that be as individuals or communities or an entire culture, begins with grieving, and so tomorrow is a day of grieving, and the way that Christians grieve is that we repent and we lament, and then we receive the word of the Lord's forgiveness and the gospel of hope for the future, that God is a God who can take the worst situations in human history and turn them into something valuable for us and use them for good, as he did with the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are gathering to grieve, to show our deep dissatisfaction with the massive loss of human life, but also to witness to and testify to the only hope for healing and for change, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The National Day of Remembrance began 3 years ago, sponsored by Priests for Life and Citizens for Pro-Life America. I think that it is particularly poignant this year that it occurs just one day after we remember the tragedies on September 11th, 14 years ago. So that those are tied together. Any loss of human life, especially on such a grand scale for us as a culture that historically has valued life in all of its forms, despite the distinctions that people might make, that gives us a chance to make an especially strong witness.
And this year, also with the number of videos that have been released that have shared information that some might have been shocking, some not so surprising, but things that we had tried to, we just hoped that they didn't really exist, that those things weren't happening, that what we've learned in the last few months regarding Planned Parenthood and their practices. You know, to some, many of us, unthinkable. And this year, now having learned that I think that has pushed us to realize, okay, we can't stay silent. We can't sit still. This is really significant. We must repent. We must remember those who have been lost. We must remember those who have been affected by this.
It's increasingly difficult for us to sanitize what happens in abortion. Proponents of abortion have managed to win the language battle over the last 40 years, but it's very difficult now to win the image battle.
Mm-hmm.
We are faced with the awfulness of abortion and all of its consequences. And I think that the only way that we as a culture can turn a blind eye to this anymore is by simply shutting our eyes and plugging our ears and screaming, la, 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 I don't hear you. And that makes this year's National Day of Remembrance an especially powerful one, because we are seeing videos and images not just of the human wreckage of these lost infant lives, but of also the damage that has been done to the hearts and the consciences of those involved in this. So it's mm-hmm. very important that tomorrow that we remember in prayer not just those who are victims of abortion, but also those who are practitioners, that the Lord would turn their hearts and grant them healing. All of those who have been involved in an abortion, who have made that tragic choice for their own life, and all of us as well as a culture who have been complacent and complicit in this awful Holocaust happening.
It's also a day of repentance. This isn't a day of pointing fingers. This is in saying you were wrong. This is a day of repentance and remembrance. Repentance, including our own attitudes, our own apathy regarding this matter.
And that's highlighted by the resource that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Office of Communications has provided for congregations and individuals, the service that was adapted from Lutherans for Life's memorial service. That has an extended, very directed confession of sins.
Mm-hmm.
Not because we want to self-flagellate, you know, and beat ourselves up, but because repentance is the means to forgiveness and healing, and so that we can hear that word of our Lord Jesus Christ that declares us innocent and that gives us a better way forward. So even as we repent of this awfulness, we, you know, our confession of sins is our way of saying we don't feel that we are better than you. Mm-hmm. That we all stand together equally condemned under God's law, but we also know that there is a universal gospel of free grace and God's unconditional acceptance for all repentant sinners.
As I look through this this service, the resource from the LCMS originating with the Lutherans for Life, the Litany of Remembrance, I don't know if I would even be able to make it through to be able to speak it aloud without being so moved and so choked up just reading through it. You know, this is a litany of remembrance, a time of silence, and remembering the sons and daughters that were never born, the brothers and sisters who were never able to play with their siblings, and all those. I mean, it continues, and praying for the Lord to have mercy on us as we remember them.
And Andy, as awful as that is for you and I to have to face our part in that, it's even more difficult for those who have gone through that experience mm-hmm. to have to face that. As I said before, grieving is the first step to healing, and healing is ultimately what we want. Mm-hmm. We are not here as the Christian church to beat up the culture with the Bible, but because, as the scripture says, God desires all men to be saved, and we desire for all of our brothers and sisters to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. I think that it's important also that we continue to remember those who are plagued by guilt mm-hmm. Over their part in this, whether they be mothers or fathers of children who are no more, whether they be nurses or technicians or doctors or just neighbors. Lutherans for Life hosts a website and a hotline called Word of Hope. And it's a shame that we call it Lutherans for Life's best kept secret, because it shouldn't be a secret. But Word of Hope, www.word-of-hope.org, which you can also get to from lutheransforlife.org, has a telephone number that is staffed 24 hours a day by a very caring lady whose name is Grace Kern. And she will speak with anybody who calls that line for post-abortion healing or for those who are considering that. And she will minister to them for the with the gospel of Jesus Christ in a very personal way. Even though she lives in one location, she ministers to people all across the United States and connects them with a pastor and a local community who can help them heal. And I think that is absolutely an essential part of our Day of Remembrance, that it doesn't just become thinking about what happened, but that we move forward with a plan for healing.
The Reverend Michael Salamink, the Executive Director-Elect for Lutherans for Life, thanks so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
I appreciate it, and I look forward to a service to our community in the future.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.